In the name of Jesus, amen. Mary was troubled. After all, as the hymnist sings, the angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as drifted snow, with eyes of flame. But this didn't perplex her. It was the angelic message that confounded her soul. In Scripture, humans are routinely puzzled by the presence of an angel. Hence, their first words are often, "Do not be afraid." But Mary is unfazed by the angelic messenger. Rather, her heart and soul are torn by the angelic message. Literally, it's, "Rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You can almost hear Mary say, "What? Can you repeat that slowly? I'm going to be pregnant?" In ages past, there had been other annunciations, that is, announcements of surprising pregnancies throughout Israel's history. Most famously, we remember Sarah and Hannah, and now of late, Elizabeth, conceived despite her old age. Those, while remarkable, none were in Mary's position. She knew the truth. She could not be pregnant. There was simply no possibility, none whatsoever. Some may jump to the conclusion that Mary was perhaps sleeping during sex ed, or that she was a little naive about this being fruitful and multiplying thing. However, her answer to Gabriel disproves that theory with a clinical coldness. For she says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Virgins, Mary knew, don't have babies. And as we look back through the centuries, we may forget an important fact. For while many people came to believe the truth about the virgin birth, only one person had absolute physical and experiential knowledge. Mary knew as biological fact that she could not be pregnant. But through the submission of the word, through faith in the promise, despite evidence to the contrary, Mary didn't respond with rejection, but with a question. How will this be? There was an explanation, just not one you or Mary or I could wrap our head around. It's not given to the natural order of things, this virgin birth. It's impossible for us, but not for God, however. For as you well know, with him all things are possible. The same life-giving spirit that hovered over the waters in the beginning now overshadows Mary and creates once again. A child is created apart from the normal means of the one flesh union of husband and wife. This is how it would be. This is how it must be. Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And this miracle leads to the mission of this little child, the work that this divine yet human child will do. For his name says what he does, and he does his name. For this child is the long-awaited promised Messiah, the Savior. Mary's God and Creator is growing within her. God has become flesh through her flesh. As one noted Luther scholar would write, "The confession that Jesus derived his humanity from the Virgin Mary has remained constant. No creed ever referred to his mother as merely Mary, but always as the Virgin Mary." And while we confess with the ancient church that the Virgin Mary is Theotokos, that is literally bearer of God, Theos, God, Tokos, birth, to give, the one whom she bears, however, takes center stage. For this is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus taking on fully your sin and your brokenness. And so we have incarnation and Emmanuel, these words that are spoken so often this time of year, and where finally the rubber hits the road, where you can know for certain that you have been graced with the God who comes with righteousness and healing to save you. By the same Spirit who caused her to conceive, Mary now is able to respond in faith. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary could speak this way only as the word gave faith birth. Faith is born by the Spirit-filled word, which then confesses, which believes, which trusts that what is impossible to the mind and to the eyes and to the thoughts of men is not impossible with God. And yet certainly as Mary walked the streets of Nazareth, as her body swelled and the secret was revealed, so did the rumors and the gossip. No doubt she wondered how she would tell her legal husband Joseph. What would he think? What would he say? What would she tell her family? What would anyone say? And would anyone believe this truth? The scorn of ignorant but judgmental people would never fully disappear. And Mary would also see the truth of this virgin birth, the grace of this virgin birth, the pain of this virgin birth, as her son's death would, in the words of Saint Simeon, pierce her soul and be appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. By the word, Mary lived, and she submitted to him who was her son, yet also her Lord and Savior. Now it is fair to say that none of us have ever experienced all the things that Mary faced, bore, and suffered. The virgin birth is unique to all of history. It will never be duplicated, nor need it be. And yet, like Mary, we are often troubled by the things we hear, but not from the lips of angels, but from the lips of our fellow neighbors, from those who we live in relationship to. For just listening or hearing or knowing that a soul is burdened, that a heart is broken, that a life has been shattered by repeated sinful and vengeful acts is, to say in the least, troublesome and saddening. Add to this a season of the year that is long on sentimentality and short on truth, we have a recipe of deceiving ourselves and others that we are the nice ones and the naughty ones are over there in the corner with their cold-filled stocking. How can we understand ourselves, our motives, our actions, our failures, our sin? Only as Mary did. That is, in the light of and the submissiveness to God's holy word. You can only know the depravity of your sin and how far it has grown in the light of God's holy word. For God's word is the truth, the only truth, and every man is a liar. For the heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah tells us, even in a time of grand gift-giving as this is. For we look around at the world, we look at ourselves, and we wonder on any number of levels, why did God let this happen? Or why did God allow this to happen? Why is this happening? Period. And in the cry of the psalmist, we give thanks with a cheerful heart as we pray, O Lord, my soul and my body, it pulsates with praise, smiles with laughter, jumps with joy, rejoices in all the gifts you so graciously give me. And yet, in that same hour, with our tongue dried out, we cry with the psalmist in lament, O Lord, my soul and my body, it burns with anger, is weighed down with guilt, is fed up with the futility of this empty life, is riddled with pain, and is on the verge of death. The new man and the old man fight within the man that is you. But here is grace, here is love divine tonight. For no matter how the Lord finds you, the old man winning, the new man losing, the new man losing, the old man winning. Whether you're standing tall or on your knees, joyful or mourning, strong or weak, happy or sad, no matter what, he gives himself to you as he gave himself to Mary, flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. That is what Advent faith is all about. Not waiting in vain, but waiting in hope. Not waiting for future punishment, but for grace and the highly favored gift of being the Heavenly Father's dear child and everlasting heir. Advent faith is waiting in certainty that whatever man says can't happen, will and does happen by the Lord's mere movement of his lips and his body. For here are my gifts, he says. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I forgive and absolve you of all your sins. This is my body. This is my blood. Take, eat, take, drink. All this the Lord says. And no matter what the state that is calling you find yourself in, in these gifts do you find the joy of these estates, and here is where you also find their reconciliation and their foundation. Here is where these gifts are a sure promise of a more glorious life. Even as you wait in Advent faith, you are summoned home to the Lord's house, where sin is put away, death defeated, and the joy and mystery of this child born in the Virgin Mary is that he is the life of the world, the life of earth and heaven. You might be tempted to think that this is small potatoes, but that this really is a feast of epic proportions. You might be tempted to think that, yeah, I've heard this so many times before, and that may be true. But as we know, the word of God sounds sweet in the sinner's ear. And the church and her people, they may look around as well, like Mary, and may wonder, I am small, I am young, I am ignorant. I may blindly follow my father's faith. I may be a hypocrite, and I may wonder to myself, how will this be? How can we be washed clean when we still play around in all this wickedness? How are we an elect and glorious nation of people when we choose other gods to follow and the stains of our sins are a byword among the nations? How are we forgiven sinners yet still chief of sinners? How are we to be numbered with the saints when we live so often with the transgressors? How will this be, the bride of Christ asks. And her beloved bridegroom responds simply, according to my word. That is how it will be. Yes, everything is possible with the Lord. A great propositional truth of the Bible. The Lord is able to do anything. But there is very little comfort in that. Far more comfort is found when one asks the further question, what does the Lord desire to do? And with the birth of Jesus foretold by the angel Gabriel promised, it's quite clear. He wants to be born for you. He wants to die for you. He wants to rise for you. He wants your sin. He wants your sickness. He wants your pain. He wants your grief. He wants your death. He wants all of you. And what the Lord wants, he gets. Not by sheer fiat of his hand, not by sheer power of his arm, not by kidnapping, not by thievery, rather by the flesh of woman, by the impossible, by the lunacy of foolishness, by the stupidity of the cross. He accomplishes what no man ever thought nor would think, the salvation of sinners, the rescuing of all creation, the kingdom that shall last forever when all others tumble and fall. The priests of all believers who listen and follow their shepherd's voice. You, the bleating sheep of the church militant, are often wanting to ask, in the words of Mary, how will this be? And your shepherd in a gentle voice simply responds to you, by the word, my dear beloved sheep. By the word, that is how. In the name of Jesus, amen.